Welcome to the News Hour. The war with Iran has entered its third week. Shipping traffic through the critical Strait of Hormuz remains effectively shut off. And the shockwaves to the global supply chain of oil are being felt here at home, with gas prices on the rise.
President Trump himself is demanding help from U.S. allies to secure the strait. Meantime, Israel has announced yet another front in the war, a ground operation in Lebanon. Nick Schifrin starts us off.
In southern Beirut today, an Israeli bombardment. By day, in the capital's southern suburbs from where Hezbollah operates, the buildings have been obliterated. This block left smoldering and shattered. And today, for the first time since the war with Iran started, Israel launched what it called limited targeted ground operations in Lebanon's south. The new offensive has already emptied southern cities and sparked the evacuation of more than 1 million people who will not be allowed to return to their homes anytime soon, Defense Minister Israel Katz warned today.
Prime Minister Netanyahu and I have instructed the IDF to act and destroy the terror infrastructure near the border in Lebanon, just as it was done against Hamas in Gaza.
And Israeli and American strikes continue to target Iran. Israel today admitted it struck Iran's electricity grid, but said it was co-located with an intelligence center, while U.S. strikes continue to target Iran's missiles and drones, whose launches are down more than 90%.
This is a paper tiger that we're dealing with now. It wasn't a paper tiger 2 weeks ago. It's a paper tiger now.
In Washington, President Trump described Iran as increasingly weak, but he acknowledged that he approached half a dozen countries for help securing the Strait of Hormuz, through which 20% of the world's oil and natural gas flows. And Iran has effectively shut with its attacks.
Many of the Europeans get quite a bit. South Korea gets 35%. So we want them to come and help us with the strait. Some are very enthusiastic and some are less than enthusiastic, and I assume some will not do it. I think we have one or two that will not do it that we've been protecting for about 40 years at, you know, tens of billions of dollars.
But in Europe, that implicit threat failed to inspire immediate action. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer.
So we're working with all of our allies, including our European partners, to bring together a viable collective plan.
And a European official goes further, telling PBS NewsHour that while the war is ongoing, no European countries are interested in deploying military assets to help secure the Persian Gulf.
Why are we protecting countries that don't protect us? And I've always felt that was a weakness of NATO. We were going to protect them, but I always said when in need, they won't protect us. We don't need them, but it's interesting. I'm almost doing it in some cases, not because we need them, but because I want to find out how they react.
The U.S. isn't only appealing to European allies. Today, Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi said she had not received any formal U.S. request yet. And the country that buys the most Iranian oil and imports the most oil from the Gulf is China. President Trump was supposed to leave for Beijing to meet Chinese President Xi Jinping 2 weeks from today. But today he confirmed he wanted to delay the trip by a month.
We're speaking to China. I'd love to, but because of the war, I want to be here.
And so the war's effects continue to spread. Brent crude prices remain above $100 a barrel, and American gas prices are nearly $1 more expensive per gallon than just 1 month ago. Iran is trying to maintain that financial pressure with attacks on Gulf oil facilities. Today and over the weekend, it struck a key Emirati oil export terminal. But Iran also continued to target Gulf civilian sites. Today, a fuel tank next to Dubai International Airport, the busiest in the world for international travel. These attacks will continue, and Iran will not negotiate, Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said today.
We're not asking for a ceasefire. This war must come to an end in a way that it will not be repeated again.
And despite previous declarations of victory, that mirrors President Trump's vow to keep the war going until the U.S. won't have to go back and repeat it again. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.